this time of the year. Okay, let's learn. Parashas Bahaloscha begins with the menorah. Really, everything about the parasha is centers around the menorah. The haftorah is the same haftorah from Chanukah. Okay, this Shabbos, it feels like Chanukah. Right. The only difference is you don't light candles before Shabbos. But we lay on Shabbos the same exact haftorah as Chanukah. Roni Akra, Roni Vesimchi. Roni Vesimchi. We learned this not that long ago. You know, this is from Zechariah. What we're learning in the morning. We learned this haftorah. It's about the menorah. Okay, we're not going to talk about the beginning of the parasha, But Haloischa, Saneus Rashi over here says, Rashi, it's always good to begin with the verb from the beginning of the parasha. Haloischa, Saneus, Lama nismucha parashas hamenorah leparashas hanisim. Why is the parasha of the menorah juxtaposed to the parasha of the nisim? At the end of the last week's parasha, we learn about the gifts of the nisim. What did the nisim offer for the inauguration of the Mishkan? Lefi, the answer is kishero'o aharon chanukas hanisim chol sho'oz dato. He thank you very much for the coffee, thank you. He was disappointed. He felt bad. Chalisha sadas. He was disappointed. Shlohoya imohem b'chanuka lohu v'lo shifto. Shevi Levi did not offer a karbon. They did not offer a gift. They were not part of the inaugural offerings. All of the shvatim provided the karbonos, except for his shevet. He had tsar. He had pain. Chol shaloi daitai. Amro loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aaron, there's nothing for you to be upset. Chayecha, by your life. Which is a very powerful expression. It ordinarily means, I swear by your life, Chayecha. Shalucha gedoyla mishlochim, that your portion is even greater. In that, Sha'ata madlik umeitiv es haneirais. Your activity that will contribute towards the inauguration of the Mishkan is in that you will light, kindle, and meitiv. Now, meitiv is a very hard word to translate. It means toif, it means good. In this context, it means that before you light the candles, or really after you light the candles, the next day you replace the wicks if it's necessary. It seems like they didn't replace the wicks. It seems like they just adjusted, removed the ashes and recalibrated the wicks for the next day. And of course, you add more oil. You clean up. You clean up and you refuel. It's like a pit stop. If you're in the Indy 500, you set it up in the proper way. Like you see the Indy 500, you come into a pit stop and they have the whole team and they give the driver something to drink. That's the most important thing. And they also happen to change the tires and change the oil and to, I don't know, clean the windshield and put on a whole show. Okay? And that's exactly what you're doing. It's a pit stop. It's a pit stop in the morning to go and get the menorah in order. You don't go build a new car. You don't put in a new engine in the pit stop, right? When you go in for a pit stop, you don't change the engine. You just change the tires. And, you know, you clean the windshield and you give the guy a drink. And, you know, good luck. Observe the speed limits. Have a nice day. You don't start all over again. That's the hatava. So all the commentators, they ask the obvious question. The hatava comes before the kindling.
Right.
Okay, that's the obvious. It should say she'ata meitiv u'madlik. That's one of the very popular questions. And the other question is why is the lighting of the menorah
a cure
for the pain, the chalisha sadas? How does it satisfy? How is Aaron going to be pacified with the lighting of the menorah? Another issue, another interesting thing we want to discuss about, mentioned over here, is the word behaloischa. Chazal learned from this word behaloischa a halacha, a very interesting halacha, is that three steps should be put in front of the menorah. Bahaloisra, when you cause, there's a hay, the hay is like a hay, a hifl, when you cause the candles to be lit, okay, I don't know the exact grammar, but the Gemara says from the word behaloisra, which has a connotation of elevation, it doesn't just mean that you shall cause the neros to rise up, to be kindled. It also, the subject of the word behaloisra, at least in the world of drush, machshava, you, Aaron, shall rise up. Behaloisra, when you, Aaron, cause yourself, you, the person, to be raised up, to kindle the menorah, el mul pnei ha-menorah, yu'iru shivas ha-neiros. And from here we learn, make sure you put a platform, three steps. The menorah was just about the same height as a human being. It was 18 tfa. It was about the same height. I'm forgetting the calculation. It was about the same height as a person. And the truth is, it wasn't really necessary for a person to stand on a platform to light the menorah. You can reach up. You can take the shamas and you can reach it with your hands. If you make a calculation exactly how tall the menorah was, the average person was able to reach the top of the menorah, and it wasn't necessary to be standing above the menorah. Yet the pasuk says, Hashem, I don't want that. I want you to tower above the menorah and look down at the neros when you light the neros. Why? So derech pshat, precision. The person is standing opposite the menorah and you see the menorah and you have to raise your hand. You don't have the ability to be precise. You'll get the job done. You know, you have a long match, you have a candle, you'll get it lit. It's not so hard to light the menorah, but precision, to light it perfectly. I'm assuming also to clean it, do the hatava, it should be done with perfection. To have that ability, you need to be in the right position. You need to be towering above the menorah. I'm sure you've all seen the surgical beds, whatever they call it, where a surgeon performs surgery. These beds, you know how much they cost? They cost $100,000. And you can move this bed up, down, upside down, any angle, any way you want, any position you want. It's what they have in the surgical wards. Why? Because when the surgeon is doing on a person a very delicate surgery, we want to make sure that the surgeon is comfortable and can see exactly what he's doing and have the ultimate precision in the procedure. And if the surgeon happens to be a certain height, we want and he feels comfortable with the patient being at a certain distance, then it's adjusted to that. If he wants it to be on a slight angle, or one part of the body should be raised, one part should be lowered, v'chulu v'chulu, we give him whatever he wants. This is a matter of life and death. The most important thing in the surgery is that the surgeon has access to the person, the part of the body that he needs, and is comfortable, and has the full ability to exercise his dexterity with precision. Well, the menorah is the same thing. Hashem didn't just tell Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Aaron, you just get it done. You know, stand by the menorah. It's a little tall, it's a little high for you. So you take they sell these long matches, extra long matches. So get an extra long match, you go on Amazon, you buy an extra long box of matches, we'll stock up on them, and you'll raise your hand, and somehow you'll get it lit, and Shalom Al Yisrael. No, that's not the way it goes. Moshe, Aaron, build steps. Three steps. Malois Hayu says in the Gemara, from this word, Be'ha'aloyscha, we learn it's not just going on the or. When you cause the R to be raised, it's going on you, the person, you shall be raised. When you cause yourself to be raised up high, to light the menorah, beha'aloischa es haneros, when you raise yourself to the neros, make sure el mul pnei ha-menorah, opposite the menorah, when you do the act of kindling, the light shall go el pnei, either towards the center, towards this. The pasuk then goes on to describe that the or shall be direct to a certain, to the center, according to Rashi. According to Rashi means, but the hakdama is, don't light the candles until you raise yourself up above the menorah so you can see exactly what you're doing. So put out of your three different...
It was because of the tzitz. He cannot raise his hand
above the tzitz. Okay, it's interesting. Okay, that's okay. That's a technical point. But all right, fine. And a chanami. But still, let's still focus on... let me suggest as follows. So maybe he shouldn't wear the tzitz when he lights the menorah. If you're not allowed to raise your hand above the tzitz, who says you have to wear the tzitz when you light the neros? He won't wear the tzitz. A Kohen Hegel lit the neros most of the year. Most of the year, the only time it seems the Kohen Hegel lit the menorah was on Yom Kippur. But on the rest of the year, it says the Farish, any Kohen, they had a pious. Who lights the neros? Who does the Hatag, who lights the neros? A Kohen Hegel doesn't wear the tzitz. So the Kohen Hegel had no problem raising his hands above his head. And the Kohen Gadol, if indeed it's a real problem, so maybe the Kohen Gadol shouldn't wear the tzitz. Is it Ma'akev wearing the tzitz? I don't know. I hear it.
Is lighting of the menorah considered an avoido or not? That's the question.
Lighting of the menorah, the pashas is it is. Okay?
Is it an avoido? Then the Kohen Gadol, and if he's lights, he has to wear the tzitz?
Does he have, is a Kohen Gadol who does not wear the Shemoyne Megadim, is the avoid the pasul? Not so simple. Not so simple to avoid this possible. If he doesn't wear the four begadim, the avoid this possible. That's a for sure thing.
When was this
possible?
Before he lit it?
Rashi, before he lit it, he's telling me the laws of lighting the menorah.
Before this?
Correct.
So the Siyam didn't give their matanis here?
No, this was written at the same time as this part of the Siyam. This was the second, this was in...
The Siyam were from first to the 12th. Right?
Right, and on day 13, Aaron lit the menorah.
He didn't lit, and what happened the first 12 days?
Doesn't say. This I don't know the answer. I remember on the first 13
when
days...
When did the B'nai Aaron die? The first day?
The first day they died, the first day.
So they were Makrib Kabbalahs already, so the menorah was literally.
Was the menorah lit the first 12 days?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. Whatever it is...
What the Abar B'nai Aaron makes the point is saying that as long as the Aaron would want, since you have in Parshas Tetzaveh and Parshas Emor, you have the whole idea of lighting the menorah, why is it mentioned in the beginning here? Because in Tetzaveh it was the Aaron Ravana, and it was just the thought that the Kohanim will light the menorah, not just Aaron. In Parshas Emor, it was Shem and Tzai Yosef was the point that we're talking about, why you must light the menorah. This parasha was to highlight the fact to placate Aaron was that as long as he's alive, he will be the only one to light the menorah.
As long as he is alive.
As long as Aaron is alive, no one will light the menorah
but Aaron.
Which would maybe make the point what he's saying, Lo Yorin Rosho, Yosef Gaboa, Miyatzitz.
It's a technical question. Okay, right. Let's not get sidetracked. Now, I apologize. I forgot something very, very important. Before we continue today, we are going to learn our dear chaver here, Rabbi Eliezer, leader friend, is observing yard side today for his father.
The yard side is on your test.
When's your test?
That's Sunday.
On Sunday. So he's observing yard side for his father on Sunday. So today we are going to learn and dedicate the shir lezeichu le'ilui nishmasa. His name is Mendel ben Yaakov. May his neshama have an aliyah. Yashar koyach. Okay. Now let's continue. So here we have this issue. So in front of you are three things. Number one, we have this principle called the halacha. From here, the Gemara derives the halacha that there should be three steps in front of the menorah so that the Kohen can be raised above the menorah and light with precision. Number two, we learn the first Rashi that tells us that the reason why the lighting of the menorah is juxtaposed to the end of Parashas Nasa after we learned about the Nesim who brought Karbanis and all for the first 12 days is to teach us this principle, of that Aaron had Chalisha Sadas, and the lighting of the menorah was a way of Hashem. Hashem pacifying Aaron, placating him for having also a portion in the inauguration of the Mishkan. And we've also mentioned this question that almost every one of the commentators asked is why is when Rashi says that the way he was satisfied when Hashem said you're going to light and be mative, the order is the opposite. Before you light the Neros, you have to first be mative the Neros before you light the Neros. So I want to come together and suggest that all of these three things, they all go together. They all go together, and this is the unique feature of the menorah versus the Nisim. The Nisim, you have to remember, what do they do? They offered korbanos. The avoda of the Nisim, their participation in inaugurating the Mishkan was the Mizbeach. Now the Mizbeach also has access. The Mizbeach also has access. How do you get to the Mizbeach? The way you get to the Mizbeach is to a ramp. A kevesh, a ramp. The question is, why is there a ramp? Why isn't there a staircase going up to the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach was approximately, let's say, 18 feet in the air. Okay, it's 9 amos. So why wasn't there a staircase? So the pasuk actually says, "V'leisale b'malois al mizbechi ki l'sigole ervascha olav." Person goes on a staircase. He has to move his legs in a way which is not tsonua. Even though, of course, the legs are completely covered, but in the Beis HaMikdash, the place is extremely holy, and even a movement of the legs, which gives the impression, which, you know, the mind wanders. A person's mind is very active, and we know that in the Beis HaMikdash, it appears that the Yetzer Hara was extremely intense. How do we know this? Yom HaKippurim. The whole night, where did the Kohen Gadol spend his evening? In the Beis HaMikdash, and it says that it was a miracle, one of the 10 miracles, that he never became tummy at night. I mean, it's hard for us to understand that. I mean, what's the big deal? Obviously, in the Beis HaMikdash, the place where there is Kedusha, there is enormous, enormous power of the Yetzer Hara. We totally don't relate to this. And the Torah says when it comes to the Mizbeach, even though the Kohen is fully covered, but taking broad steps to an observer, I guess, somehow it's not tsunua. Therefore, the Torah demands there should be a ramp. The menorah, there's no ramp. Torah didn't instruct there should be a ramp for the menorah. There are steps. Steps are very, very different than a ramp. So the Nisim, their avoda is the Mizbeach. They brought sacrifices on the Mizbeach. Aaron, his contribution to the inauguration was the menorah. The Nisim went up steps, went up a ramp to gain access to where they needed to be. Aaron, he went up on steps. Now, Aaron, what else is he doing besides, lighting the Neros? What else is he doing? He is Hatava. Well, guess the Nesim also had to do Hatava. What's the Hatava of the Nesim? Truma Sadeshen. What is the first avodah that you do in the morning? Those who learned Afyomi, it's not so long ago, the Gemara had a number of blot discussing the laws of Truma Sadeshen. First thing one does in the morning is, you wake up early in the morning before when it's still dark, while it's still in the middle of the night, in fact, before Alisa Shachar, is there were a pious, there was a lottery, who will merit to go to the top of the Mizbeach and clean up, take out the garbage, to clean up, to move the ash to the side, to take away some of the ash in order to get ready, in order to remove from yesterday and to make room on the Mizbeach to get ready for the avoda of the day. And we discussed 2 weeks ago a little drush about Truma Sadeshen, but Truma Sadeshen to a degree is also, it's similar to Hatova Saneros. Just like you cannot light the Neros until you put in oil and the wicks are in position, just where they need to be, everything is set up properly. You can't just go to the Mizbeach and bring a carbon if you don't clean up the space. You have to remove the ash, move things over, make room, get everything ready, and then you can bring the parts of the animal on the Mizbeach and offer them to Hashem. So there's a similarity between the Hatovas HaNeros and the Trumas HaDeshen. So there are a lot of similarities over here. But here's the big difference. The big difference is the fact that when we look at Hatovas HaNeros, I know there are many different ways to view Hatovas HaNeros, but generally, the Hatova is the beginning. It's the beginning of the day. The Gemara actually calls it, I remember, we have to look at the Gemara more precisely. But in one, it's the beginning and the end. I mean, you're cleaning up the leftovers from yesterday to prepare for today, to make room on the Mizbech for today. Hatova Saneros is the same thing. You're cleaning up your mess, not them, you're cleaning up the leftovers from yesterday in order to prepare for the coming day. They both serve a very similar function. You clean up the Mizbeach in the beginning, you clean up the menorah, you get the menorah ready. The Mizbeach, you go up on a ramp. The menorah, you go up on steps. Aaron does the menorah, the Kohanim work on the Mizbeach. Aaron's avoda is better. Aaron's avoda is shalacha gedoyla mishalohem. What was the question we asked? Why does it say the word hatova before hadlaka? So here's what I want to try to suggest. One more point. Why is the cleaning of the oil and the wicks, the preparation, called hatova? Hatova comes from the word toiv, good. Toiv. So you'll answer, you're making it good. You're coming in the morning, and after the menorah has been lit the entire night, things are not in where they're supposed to be. You need to, you know, clean away the ash and set up the neros and add more oil. You're making it good. Okay, it's a very simple understanding, making it good. In the beginning of the Torah, we have the word toiv. Vayar Elokim Esor Ki Tov. The first time the word Toiv appears in the Torah is very significant. The first time a letter appears in the Torah, it's very significant. And certainly the first time a word appears in the Torah is very significant. It sets the tone what this word means. The first time the word Toiv is found in the Torah is by the creation of light. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. There should be light. Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki toiv. And Hashem, for the very first time, this is good. In fact, it's so good. Chazal Rashi there tells us that Hashem took the or, he put it away for the tzaddikim la'osilava. The menorah that is lit in the Beis HaMikdash is, without a shadow of a doubt, a throwback to that or. Vayar, Vayomer Elokim yehi or. Vayar Elokim Esor Ki Tov. It's not a coincidence that Chazal call the preparation of the menorah Hatova. When it comes to the Trumas HaDeshen, they don't call the removal of the ash the Hatovas HaMizbeach. Did you ever hear such a nusach? Never. There's no such nusach anywhere. B'chol Torah Kula and said that when the Kohanim wake up in the morning, you know what they're supposed to do? They're supposed to be mative the Mizbeach. Make the Mizbeach good. Make it good. No. It's something called teruma. Take away the ash. Remove the ash. We could have said the same. We come in the morning. Terumas hamenorah. Terumas the shemen. You take away the ashes. Take away the old wicks. Take away oil that's not of high quality because it's been diluted because of whatever took place, because it was lit and the ash got into the oil. It doesn't say that. It says, make it good. Hatovas, make it good. Don't take it away. There's a very big difference between, again, truma means removal, and toiv means make it good. When you have a problem in this world, there are two ways to fix the problem. Either you can take what you have and you can work with it, or you can destroy it and start all over again. Buy a house in Flatbush, you have a choice. You can gut the whole house, right? A beautiful house. beautiful house, has you know, the architecture, and it has a certain class and elegance. No. It's not the minhag in Flatbush. In Flatbush, you have to come with a demolition crew and gut the house. No more house. Apply for permits. Spend an enormous amount of time as an architect and wait money that you don't even have, steal money to go build a brand new house. And guess what? When you build a new house, it's not even as nice as the old house. And half the things don't even work. And it takes a century to figure out all the problems and to solve all the problems. Or you can take the house that's already been built for 100 years and you can work with it. And you can make it better. You can restore it. And you can preserve its elegance, and you can deal with it. It's not for nothing that when it comes to the Mizbeach, it says it's now time for Truma Sadeshin, demolition crew. Bring in the demolition crew, because today is a new day. It's a new day, and we have new korbanos, and let's get the Mizbeach ready by getting rid of the old. We want a separation from what was yesterday, from what's going to be today. Yesterday was yesterday. We served Hashem yesterday very well. It was a success. It did its job. It lived out its life. It served its function. They tell you that the house, listen, 100 years, it served its purpose, but it's time for a new house. It's time, there's mold, and it squeaks, and there's decay. It outlived its life expectancy. Don't have any bad feelings when it's demolished. Nothing is forever. You go to the Mizbeach. Yesterday we broke Korbanos. It served its function. Everything is fine and good. It's a new day. It's time for Teruma. Teruma means to remove, to uplift, to remove. Let's get the ash out of here and let's start fresh. The menorah, you don't do that. In fact, the menorah, if I'm not mistaken, you don't even replace the wicks. The wicks are just, they're just cut. They're recalibrated. And the oil is replenished. It's a pit stop. You just fix it up. It's native. And that is why it doesn't say you're native and then you're light. You're light and then you're native. In other words, Hashem says to Aaron, there's a fundamental difference in your avoida, than the avoida of the Nisim. The Nisim, their avoida is units, finite units. A, B, C, D. There's no connectivity between the past, the future. Every day is a tekufa to serve Hashem. Hashem gave man many opportunities. Each opportunity is precious. It's wonderful. The menorah represents continuity. It represents taking what you have in the past and going higher, building upon it. The hatova in the morning is not... The Hatova comes after you accomplish something, and now it's time to recalibrate, not to start all over again. The Hatova was to clean the menorah, like Truma Sadeshen, then the Hatova would come first. The Avoda of the Hatova is to reflect upon the past, draw the inspiration, the success, and the failures, learn from what has happened, and now let us improve. Don't knock down the building. We know what the weaknesses are. We know where the problems lie. Let's improve upon it. It's hatova. We're going to make it better. It's not demolition. It's not to start fresh. You only can do hatova when you have already accomplished something. You've accomplished something, and now we're going to make it better, so we're going to do Hatova. If you didn't do anything yet, there's no Hatova. Truma Sadesha means clear the area. Dig a pit so we can lay down the foundation. You're starting with nothing. It's we want to build a building. We need a foundation. So bring in the tractors, bring in the bulldozers, and let's dig up a flat. Go down to bedrock in order to lay a foundation. That's Trumas Hadeshen. The Mizbeach is full of ash. We need to card out this ash so we can start fresh. Every day you start fresh again, again, again. That is what the Nesim have done to inaugurate them, and that of the Mikdash. And that's talk of their job. But Aaron, there's another dimension in Judaism. And that is not everything in Judaism is just isolated to a day, to a time, to a tekufa, to a generation. There are elements in Judaism where each generation builds upon the past. You go higher and higher. Therefore, there are steps in front of the menorah. A step, what's the difference between a ramp and steps? You can't stop. A ramp, you got to keep on going. A ramp, you go up. You can't stop in the middle of a ramp. You're not balanced. You have to just, it's just an item. A ramp is just something to get you from the bottom to the top. There are no madregot. There are no levels on a ramp. It's just, you get there. Get from the bottom to the top. Steps represents you rest. You go to one level and you conquer. And then you go to the next level. You conquer. And then you go to the next level. You conquer. Steps, when you go up steps, it puts you in a very different mindset than going up a ramp. Going up a ramp, the ramp is just a means to get to where you need to be. Going up steps represents there are many levels. There are many madregos. There are different types of malachim. You graduate. You go higher and higher and higher. It's a process. The lighting of the menorah is not an isolated event. Every single day is a betterment of the previous day, building upon the success and the failures of the previous. You take the lessons learned from the previous and you go higher and higher. This is infinitely more satisfying than the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is good. You have to have both. You know, Klal Yisrael needs both. Every tekufa, you know, every single day is a day. You go through a day, you make a deposit. You make a deposit. Every day is precious. But there's another element, a higher element of accomplishment. I once heard someone say that they have no time to accomplish anything because all they do the whole day is they put out fires. Every day they're just responding. Rabbi, you're like, every day, what do I do the whole day? Every day, everything's come in. Emails, requests, telephone calls. Putting out fires. I have to go to a funeral. I have to go to a bar mitzvah. I have to go do this. I have to respond. There's someone has needs the help. That's my job. My job is to respond. I'm 911 for my balabatim. My balabatim, they call me. I'm their 911. This emergency, that emergency. I'm expected to go and have to find a solution, answer the questions, find the solution to all the problems. That's what I do. And then he takes a sabbatical. What's the sabbatical? My sabbatical here is that I should accomplish something. My days in the sabbatical, each day should be part, not a response to what's going on, but to each day should contribute to the next day, to the next day, to the next day, to build, to go higher and higher, to when the year is over, I have accomplished something. I'm not just responding to a daily. It's beautiful to respond. This is what Hashem created the world for. But there are different elements. There is isolated moments of time, which you're there to serve a purpose. And then there is the ability to accomplish by growing from day to day. That's Hatova. That's why Hatova is called Toiv. And that's not called Teruma. That's why the menorah, there are steps. Steps put you in the frame of mind. You're going higher, higher, higher. There are levels of accomplishment. That is why the Hatova comes after the Trumas Hadeshen. It's first Trumas Hadeshen. First you do the Trumas Hadeshen, then you bring a Karban. The Menorah, First you light. Ah, where's the... Figure it out. So put in the oil in the wick. The first time you figure it out. That's not the main thing. That's just a hecha timsa. If you want to go to shul, you have to go walk on the street. I'm not going to go tell you to go walk on the street. You go to shul. You figure out how to get to shul. You light the menorah. Figure out how to light the menorah. You need oil. You need wicks. Get it done. But now comes an avod of hatava. Afterwards, recalibration to go higher and higher. Shelcha gidoyla shemehem. This is much, much more satisfying. The ability to connect every single day to the next has so much more satisfaction. Now, let's go backwards now. Now we have a whole new appreciation of the first, one of the first psukim in the Torah. Vayoymer Elokim Yehi Or. Hashem said there should be Or. Vayar Elokim Eso Or. Kitoiv. What does that mean? What does that mean, Kita? Hashem saw the Or is Toiv. It's good. What does that mean, it's good? Of course it's good. No, there's something unique about the Or. Or means this is something that's going to build on itself. The Or that Hashem created is not just today, here today, gone tomorrow. The nature of Or is the new Or is not just the same old again, a repetition. Every new ray of Or is an advancement, is an enhancement, a recalibration, a growth of the previous R. Now, in science, is there such a thing like this? Is that when you add when you add more R to pre-existing R, it's not just more of the same. It's an expansion of its quality, of its depth. I have no idea what science says about this, but that's irrelevant. Just like when we find this linkage between toiv by or in Maaseh Bereishis and the word hatova that's used by the or of the menorah, in contrast to the Nesiim who focused on the mizbeach, which was repetition every single day, more of the same repetition, that forces us to appreciate that the word toiv represents renewal. It's interesting that in the Bereishis, Chazal say, Beshvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. The beginning of Bereishis, Chazal, they associate with Truma. Bereishis. Bereishis arisoi sechem titnu truma laHashem. Mm-hmm. Okay, the word Bereishis, there are many Mamari Chazal, which the Ramayaski he said the Pasuk, Reishis is used by truma. You have truma, and you give the Kohen the Reishis. And what do you do when you have more truma next year? Give it to him again. Give it to him again. Is there any greater quality in the truma you give him next year than when you give him the last year? Probably not. It probably goes down. You know, if the quality of everything in this world, right? They don't make cars like they used to. They don't do anything like they used to. Everything today is, you know, it's cheap. The quality is, they don't build houses like they used to. Everything become very cheap. It's when you give the Kohen truma next year, it's the same old truma. I gave you truma this year, I'll give you truma next year. This world is called truma. The Torah selected the word Bereishis to say that this world is truma. The world world is divided into 50s, into how many yovels are there in. I'm getting a little confused, but Truma is 1/50th. Truma is 1/50th.
Yeah.
Okay, the world is 6,000 years. There's a certain there are many elements in Truma, in the world being compared to Truma. And the ultimate, it all comes back to the selection of the word Reishis. Reishis ariso seichem titnu tzuruma l'Hashem. Now look at the world. Now with this idea, the whole pasuk, the beginning of the Reishis, has a whole new meaning now. The world is truma, as in truma sedeshem. When you bring korbanos on the mizbech, what do? The first thing you do is, bring a carbon today? New day. We got to bring a carbon. Okay, where are we going to burn the carbon? Where are we going to? On the mizbeach. The mizbeach, there's no room. It's full of ash. I can't even walk up there. That's right. So go clean it up. Just like you build a building, go dig a hole and make a foundation. Clean it up. Okay. I go to top of the mizbeach, I do teruma. I remove the ash. Truma sadeshen. Oh, now we're going to bring a carbon. Okay, tomorrow. Again, same thing all over again. Does today have anything to do with yesterday? No. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. It's just more of the same. Repetition. That's how the world was in the beginning. The world was teruma. Breishis baro Elokim. Es ha-shamayim v'es ha-aretz. It was an incredible world. There was a shamayim and the aretz. It includes everything you can possibly want. But it was boring. Reruns. Remember those days in Mitzvah Shabbos? Nothing to watch on television. It's the same old movie. Same old boring rerun. That's what it was. It was truma. Truma sadeshen. Every day. It's a new avoida. You're going to serve Hashem. It's very, very nice. It's avoida sashen. I'm not coming to downplay it. But Hashem said, you know something? It's boring. Ve'ho'oretz. Ho'yisa soyhu v'voyhu. V'choyshech al p'nei sohoy. Know what that means in English? It's boring. It's the same old rerun from last Mitzvah Shabbos. It's the same show. I made a beautiful world. But every single day you do the same thing again and again and again and again and again. Truma, that's what truma is. You give the Kohen his portion every single year, again, again, again. It's the same food. Doesn't it's the avoda. That's what you do on the Mizbeach. Vayoyimer Elokim, Hashem says we gotta make an improvement. It's too boring. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. I want renewal. I want growth. I don't want just, it should be the same thing again and again. I want every cycle should be an enhancement, should build upon what was. Yehi Or. What is Or? Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or Kitoy. Toiv is, it's not just, it's to be, every Mitzvah Shabbos, it's to be continued. And every week, it gets better and better. The plot thickens. The complexity gets greater and greater. You're enhancing it. The world started off with Truma Sadeshen. But Aroin Shelecha Gedoyla Mishelohem. Because if you're only going to have Truma Sadeshen, you're only going to do the avoid is beautiful. You're going to go through a cycle of this of existence in this world. It's wonderful, but in the big picture of things, it's v'ha'oretz ha'yisasoyu v'vohu. There's an emptiness in life. There's a feeling of toyu and boyu if you just do the same thing again and again and again, and you don't feel something unique. Some sense of accomplishment, some sense of growth, some sense of enhancement, where each cycle is building upon the past. And Hashem therefore said, I don't like this, it's boring. Vayoymer Elokim Yehi Or, there needs to be a menorah, and the menorah will represent the Hatova, will represent this concept. Vayar Elokim Es Or Ki Toiv. that's these psukim parallel exactly the Nesiim and Aaron. The Nesiim, they were Bereishis. They are representing the creation of the world and going through the cycles of Avodas Hashem. They go up their ramp. They go up the ramp, they come down the ramp, just an elevator. There's no sense of elevation, of going higher and higher and higher and higher, going from one level to the next. They get there somehow. And they do their thing and they're done. Aroin shelecha gedoyla mishalahem. Sha'ata madlik vayom elokim yihi or umeitiv vayar elokim es or kitoiv. Your avoida is going to set the tone for Klal Yisrael that when we go through the cycles, it's not the same old. We're building upon the past. Klal Yisrael is developing, they're maturing, they're growing. It's a whole new pshat. What we learn about the Aaron, the Nesiim and Aaron in Parshas Nosa, in Parshas Ha'loischa, is being megale to us an appreciation of the first psukim in the Torah. It was in a sophisticated world of cycles, but Hashem said, no, the cycles have to be enhanced with or, which is toiv. Toiv means to build, to grow, to go higher and higher. Okay, enough said on that. Let's now go to another vart. It's a very short vart, but I like this vart for some reason. It resonates with me. It's a very simple vart. It's very, very simple. Eldad Umeidad, end of the parasha. End of the parasha, we have Eldad Umeidad. Misnabim b'machane. They were, there was a whole selection process, a very bizarre selection process where Moshe said, we need a Sanhedrin of 70 members. Problem is, there are 72 candidates. There are 72 candidates. What are you going to do with the two extra candidates? How are you going to deselect them? Okay, it's very interesting what's going on over here. But then even they made a goyrel, and basically there were two people who decided on their own they're not going to come. There are two people who decided they're not worthy, Eldad Umeidad. They started giving him a prophecy, and they were very humble, and it's very bizarre, they were very humble, but yet, you know, the whole thing is so bizarre, you know, you talk forever about this, they were very humble. Who are we? And you know what they were saying? When is Moshe going to die already? So Yeshua will take over. Is that not a contradiction?
Okay. They were also brothers.
They were very humble. We're not royal. And who are we? And what did they say? When is Moshe going to die already? So Yeshua can take over. Does that make sense to you? Okay. In any event, Eldad Umeidad, Misnab Machaneh, they were Misnabim, and the Pasuk says, V'lo Yosof. And they did not stop. Below, let me find the exact words of the parasha. I went too far. Which perek?
Yud Aleph.
Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chof Hey. Vayashem b'yonon vayidaber elav vayotzel min haruach ha'sholah vayitein al-shalshu yizkein vayhi k'nechol emelim vayisnabu v'lo yosofu. Rashi presents two completely 180 degree apart perushim what the words v'lo yosofu means. Rashi's first perush, pasuk hafei, lo nisnabu elo oisoy hayoyim levadoy. This was a once in a lifetime experience. It was on this day only they gave over prophecy. Kach mufurish b'sifrei. That's what he says in the Sifrei v'lo yosafu. It never happened again. Today, v'lo yosif. It did not continue. Today was the day they had prophecy, and that was it. Then Rashi quotes the Targum. Ungalus tirgim v'loy poskin. No, it never stopped. From this day on, for the rest of their existence, they continued to be prophets. V'lo poskin, sheloi poska nevuah mehem. Two completely opposite translations of the word v'lo yosafu. It comes from the word soif, the end, the end. So it depends how you want to manipulate the word end. V'lo yosafu means it never happened again. It never happened. This was the end. They had prophecy on this one day. This was the glorious day, the day in the limelight, and that was it. Or v'lo yosafu, it means from today it started and it never came to an end. So which is it? So again, it's a very similar, very elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Many times in our life, this one day that changes our lives. You have an experience, a life-changing experience. Only happened one day in your life. You happen to be in the right place at the right time, or in the wrong place at the wrong time, and something happened. And that event that happened shakes you up. You transform yourself. You become a different person. Your outlook on life, your behavior, your hashkafa is different for the rest of your life. It's really the same pshat. The MS, you can say, like the Sifrei, they never again were prophets. It was their day in the sun. It was that selection day. There only were 72 prophets. There were only 70. There were 70. They were the two extra ones. And because they were candidates, they had prophecy. And that was it. Never again in their life did they experience the word of Hashem coming through them. But Ungula says it never stopped. You know what that means? That experience was a life-changing experience. And even though they were no longer prophets, they no longer had that high of being a channel to transmit Hashem's word to the Jewish people, those few moments that they were, it was a life-altering experience. It never came to an end. The actual nevuah, the actual prophecy came to an end. But the experience, that never came to an end. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Rashi says two perushim, face value. Mikotze elakotze. They're irreconcilable. Not true. They fit together like a glove. And that's a very powerful Musa Haskel for us in our lives. Every single day is unique. It's a life all, every single day there are incredible things going on in this world to learn from, to experience, to witness, to see what's happening. And these events that we're going to see today, you're never going to see again. The experiences that Hashem provides a person on every single day are unique, are totally unique. They will never be repeated. Yeah, these crazy stories, these events happen, these Ashkacha Prata stories, and this, everyone experiences bizarre things all the time. Will never happen again. Question is, will you let the experience escape you, or will you seize that experience and let it change you for the rest of your life? That's this Ivart really goes back to the first part that we said. The first part we said was with the difference between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. What is the Menorah? The Mizbeach is one day at a time. V'lo yosafu. What's v'lo yosafu? It came to an end. You do avoida today. You go on the Mizbeach today, you bring a carbon, done. Done. This carbon is done. We'll never bring this carbon again. The experience was amazing, but we're done. Tomorrow, a new experience. What is the menorah? V'lo yosafu. It never ends. Every single day is just a continuation. It's like the torch in the Olympics. You just pass it on from one guy to the next. It goes on and on and on and on. It just burns brighter and brighter. It goes higher and higher. Two different perushim. The menorah is v'lo yosafu. It never comes to an end. It's a continuous cycle. The mizbeach is, it's over. It's over. Tomorrow they're going to demolish every last zecher of what happened today. Tomorrow morning a cleanup crew comes with cartwheels, literally, and they clean up the Mizbech spotlessly clean, as if yesterday did not exist in this world. V'lo yosafu, never again. Today you bring the carbon, tomorrow they're going to wipe this Mizbech spotlessly clean. Menorah, v'lo yosafu, it never goes out. The Ner Maravi was always lit, miraculous. On, weiter, weiter, weiter. You're always going, cycles are going higher and higher and higher. Every repetition. So what is it? Rabbi Yisrael, what is it? Is it v'lo yosafu of the menorah? Or is it the Mizbeach? It's over. Just like in this Rashi, it's two sides of the same coin. It's the same thing with the Mizbeach. It's true. You bring a carbon, and they're going to clean the Mizbeach, squeaky clean, from today's Avodah. But the experience should stay with you. The actual Avodah may not stay with you. But the menorah of Aaron's Avodah is trying to wake you up that even the things that you do again and again and again that just seem, which are truly, they're just isolated events, but the experience should change you, that it should be veloy. So the two go to the Avodah of the menorah and the carbon, they really complement one another. Okay, I boys have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for listening, coming, enjoy, be well, all the best. Have a good Chanukah. Enjoy your Chanukah.
Have a good Shabbos.
Ronnie Vissimchi. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Be well.
Hi, I'm
Chuchesh.
Yeah, we're going from here. Dr. Fuch, can I ask you a question? Do you have Jerusalem? Do you have his telephone number by any chance?
He lives down the block.
No,
he
moved.
Oh,
I know. I spoke to him, but the phone number that I have doesn't work.
He has the same number, but okay, one second. His number is 917.
He's not in the neighborhood anymore?
620-6748.
What's time between Florida and Israel?
Hello, Dr.
917-620-6748.
I've never heard about that.
Correct.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. How are you? Good. How's everything by you? How are you?
I was on the whole time. Thank you. Okay. Okay. So
good.
Have a good please send regards to your wife.
Yes, we'll do. Yes, okay. Shukola. Thank you. Mayor, I hear Mayor there. Mayor, yeah. Hi, Mayor. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Okay. Have a good Shabbos.
Okay.
Happy birthday to Asher. Is Asher's birthday?
Oh, is Nyman on?
Yes.
Mazel tov to Mr. Nyman on a grandchild's, what was it, granddaughter's wedding?
What's that? Who?
Nyman, Yaakov Nyman. No. Okay.
So Yishmael, yes.
Yeah. I don't forget.
You don't forget. Okay. Take care. Shabbos.
I see kids in the street, and I you know, my wife, like, you didn't. I said, I don't remember his name. I could tell you he was Noah. He was. You know, Mata's mom.
Oh, the parsha.
Yeah, the parsha. I look at the kid. Remember. I remember the parsha. I said, I don't remember his name.
Wow, that's funny.
So I said to Yankee now, because Usher was Baloska. Oh,
Reino Shai.
Okay.
Well,
Shabbat Shalom. So everyone's back. So what did Tamara say when we left him out?
She did the same thing. Bye bye. She doesn't ignore her. That's
all.
We'll see what happens Shabbos.
So overwhelmed with the house.
So what did your wife say to Israel? What did she say?
She said the house was clean. She's surprised.
Well, your house is clean. I'm sorry, I forgot in the beginning.
No,
I'm sorry.
I was on about it in person. So. I have a question on the parsha. We're learning that the way that the Shvatim moved. So it says, Rashi says that Yehuda moved, and then the Bnei Gershon and Kehas took a part of Ishkan, and then they moved, and then the next set of Shvat, then after Dan, then the Merari took a part, they carried the Caleb. So it seems to me that it looks like the Gershon Kost went first to assemble, so they could assemble the Mishkan when they get to the next stop.
Okay.
And then you had Reuven, Yisachar, then you had Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun behind them. And then you had the next set of Sfaradim with Reuven, Shimon, and Dan, I think. And then it says Kahas took apart the, then they carried the cable. So it comes out that, so I was looking at it, it comes out that the Aron, I mean the carrier, was in between the two half Shvatim, because you have two, you have six Shvatim. You notice the problem? You have the Chumash here?
Yeah.
Because I was very confused with that last year.
Okay, here. I realize you need one more second?
No, I just wanted to hear something. I mean, when you finish, when you finish it.
Yeah. That's Chamishi.
So first, Vuhura and Mishkan. So it says first they traveled. Mate, Vuhura and Mishkan, Venosu b'nei Gershon, the Mishkan. B'nei Gershon, v'mironi v'nosi ha-Mishkan. Venosu ha-Degel machane Reuven, then comes the next. So here it says, so first it calls it the Mishkan. So it says Mikdash, Rashi says it means the Kela. The Mikdash means the Kela.
Mm-hmm.
So they took first, right, they took the structure. And then came Machane Reuven, then they went Machane Reuven.
But when Reuven is together with God, Reuven, Shimon, and Dan.
One degel. And then comes the Kohasim behind them are carrying the Kalim. Now he's saying he was a Mishkan. Now we mention that just as a side point, it seems, B'nei Gershon, B'nei Merari, Shahayu Koyvim Luchem Masa Shnei Degolim, Hayu Makim Nesam Mishkan, Keshahayu Ha'olam Sheikhim, B'Simon Achaniya, how do you know it's time to stop? They're still traveling.
But
when
he says Shnei Degolim, does he mean the two sets? Like, what does he mean by that? It says like Chotzevas, and does when it says here. Does it mean three Shvatim? That's three, because there were four sets of three.
A degel has three. A degel has three. So
yeah.
There are two more degolim behind.
So that means, in other words, six Shvatim passed.
Correct.
Right.
They're in the middle.
Sorry.
Right, because they're in the middle.
Yeah.
Correct.
They're in the middle and between the six. So in other words, they went ahead to set up the Mishkan in the next stop, right? Or they were ahead of the line.
Let's go further. Hayu b'nei Gershon, shayar shnei dugam b'achorinim. Hayu b'nei Gershon, b'nei Merari, mekim mes Mishkan. Uchshabon b'nei Kohas, moitzim moisoy al mechorinai. So they already have the structures in place. So they machnisim b'yaharon. They have shulchan hamenorah v'hamis mechayis. V'zel mashmais hamigra. V'kimu. Why does it say over here in this pasuk here v'kimu? Also, at 10 before Boyam El Bnei Kos. So it's telling you the reason why. Nachmal. So here is, let's go very good. Over here, Yisrohi Bachish Hashani, Vayisu Neishul Mas, Vayisu Bereishon Al Pi Hashem Be Amayisha, Vayisa Degel Machanev Ne Yehuda, Bereishon. So Yehuda goes first. And Yehuda has three Shvatim with him. Yaltsev Oy Mati Yisoch, Vyaltsev Mati Bnei Zvulam. So that's three.
Mm-hmm.
Three Shvatim are taking the lead.
Yeah.
Now, after three Shvatim, Vuhura Mishkan, V'nosu b'nei gershon b'nei merari v'nosei ha-mishkan. So after three, after the first three, goes the structure of the Mishkan.
Okay.
So only one degel is in the lead. One degel, which is three shvachim, there are four degelim, so right. Each degel is three. So one degel is in the lead. After degel number one comes the Mishkan, the structure.
Yeah.
Now, after that degel, after the structure is another degel.
Mm-hmm.
Another degel. The Nazir Machan and Ruben Litzavis of Yaltsa and Tabish of Yaltsa Matavish Shimon Shlubanch of Yaltsa Matavish God Litzavin Ben do well. So now we have another Degel. So far it's Degel A, the structure of the Mishkan,
yeah,
and Degel B. Right? Mm-hmm. Now come the Kalim.
So okay.
Between the Kalim, between the structure and the Kalim is only one Degel.
Right.
Between
which is three Shvatim.
What?
Which is three Shvatim.
Correct.
Okay.
Three shvatim. The nasu hakahasim leisa mikdash vekim now. And the reason why, so the question is, why are we putting? It's now coming to. So far, what do we have? We have degel one.
Yeah, but they were ahead.
Took the lead. There was nothing. They just went in front.
Sorry.
They just went in front.
They went in front of Yehuda.
No, Yehuda went in front. It says.
Yeah, but I that's what I thought it says.
They went in front. Where did they go? They went, it would seem, behind.
Yeah. So in other words, so they went
So it's very clear, Rashi is very clear. First goes three shvatim.
Yeah.
Three shvatim are in the front.
Right.
Then comes the structure of the Mishkan.
Right.
Then comes another three shvatim.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes the Kalim.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end are another six shvatim.
Uh-huh. Okay, so there were.
Now the question is, why is it? Why do we separate? Do we separate those who carry the structure from those who are carrying the kalim by three shvatim?
Yeah.
Why is there a hefsek of three shvatim in between
mm-hmm.
the structure and the kalim? The answer is because we want that when they come to rest, those who are
you want to give them time to set up the
mission. Should go right into its location without having to be exposed and waiting outside.
Yeah.
Now you'll ask the obvious question, so what are you accomplishing? But when they're departing, you know, you view it not to be a covert for the Kalim to be exposed, not mm-hmm. a place for it to rest. You know, it's a tablecloth, a short tablecloth. It's good on one end, but on the other end, yes. It's no good. It's yeah. very nice and fun when you're coming to enter, it's very nice and fun. When you're coming to your destination, it's beautiful. So, the structure is up, and now you bring the kalim inside. But when you are departing, the structure is gone, and the kalim are exposed for a period of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, life is a short tablecloth.
Right, yeah.
If it's good on one end, it's not good on the other end.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So what's going on over here? So obviously it must be that nothing is perfect. It's more about Kavadik when you arrive, that's more important than when you leave. When you leave, it's not. It's I guess that's what I'm saying. I guess you have another choice. So you have to make a decision where you want it to be that the kalim should be sheltered.
Uh-huh.
So it's more important that the kalim should be sheltered immediately when you arrive than when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear what you think. Three shvatim go first.
Okay.
Then goes the structure.
Okay.
Of the Mishkan.
Then another
three shvatim. Then go the kalim of okay. the Mishkan.
Right.
Then go six shvatim.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And question, why are you separating the structure from the kalim with a hefsek of three shvatim?
Yeah.
You would think six shvatim.
Yeah.
If it was up to us, what would we do? Six shvatim.
Mm-hmm.
the structure and the kalim.
Right, and then
and six shvatim.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, isn't that what the obvious thing to do is? Yeah. So rationally, you're saying the pasuk of you're saying is you're right, but we want to do something that when you arrive, it should be with pomp and ceremony.
Uh-huh.
The structure is built.
Yeah.
And here you come right away. You bring the kalim right into the little.
So because there's not a shot that says that they want first. In other words, they set the structure, the Gershon, and I think it's a partisan. That's why. This is some of the few, and then if they set up, then the first, then Yehuda Yisachazul came, and then be part of that. That's what I don't.
So that means I think what Daniel Farish is saying is that when it says here Vinosa Dega Machne Ruvein Vehura Mishkan Vinosu Vneikas means before. The Torah sometimes does that. It says who went first, so it says Ruvein three Shvatim went first.
Yeah,
and before they went. Then when it says V'chur HaMishkan V'nasu B'nei Gershon Meim Nari Naisa HaMishkan means before them.
So they went before Reuven.
The very front.
What? So they, so that's, and they set it up and then Yehuda Yisachar Zulun came.
Right. Okay. And then, so then it would be, according to that.
So then according to that, that there would be six, separated by six.
It's separated by six, exactly.
Okay.
Separated
by six. Right. That's what
But the Pasuk is not written in that order. It's not a Kasha because it's all part of the first three. So the way you're gonna read it then is, yeah, over here, Vayisra Neshol, Vayisra Dega Machane Bnei Yehuda Vayishon. So Vayalt, you have Yehuda, but this is Bari Shoyna. Vayalt Tzvoy Nashon Bnei Minov, Vayalt Tzvoy Matei Bnei Yisachar, Vayalt Tzvoy Matei Bnei Zvulon. But before those three went, because before those three went, who went in front of them? Who were at HaMishkan? V'nasu V'nei Gershon V'nei Merari Nosei HaMishkan in front of them.
Yeah.
With the scarab in the front. So what is the front? Three shvatim. But who led those three shvatim?
So that was
the structure.
So,
no,
so they strapped the structure. The three shvatim came. The six shvatim came.
Right. And the first was the structure.
Yeah.
Then were six shvatim. And then were the kalim.
That's what.
And then another six.
Yeah.
Is Rashi saying that? I don't think so.
No, that's why I was very confused with this.
Because then what you're doing is you're taking when it says in Pasuk Yud Zayin V'hur HaMishkan V'nasu B'nei Kohanim V'nei Gershon, it's explaining to you this that we said is going to lead is three shvatim.
Yeah.
In front of the three shvatim.
Yeah.
Was the Mishkan.
Yeah.
Is that what Rashi says? I don't think so. Look at Rashi. Rashi over here says over here. L'maseyem, no, stop here. V'nevur HaMishkan. Kevon, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, Kevon Sh'neseya Degel Yehuda. One, Kevon, I'm assuming it's once.
Yeah.
That Degel Yehuda went in front. They're gone.
Right.
Three are gone.
Yeah.
Nichnesu Aaron Ubanov. For the very first time, Aaron Ubanov enter.
Mm-hmm.
Uparku es HaPareches.
Yeah.
They cover the parechas. The chisu bo es ha'aroin shenemar uvo aron ubona b'nesoy ha'machane le'el uvnei gershoin uvnei merari parkin ha'mishkan. The first three are gone.
Yeah.
They're on the road.
So the Mishkan was standing when they left.
Yeah. And now aron ubona is now disassembling it. V'tayim ma'isay ba'agolos.
Yeah.
The Aroin Uchleat Kodesh Shalmasa B'nei Kos Oimdim U'mechusim V'nesunim Alamatas. They're not going nowhere.
Yeah.
Ad Shenosa Dagel Machane Ruvin until the next three went.
Mm-hmm.
So the Acher Kach V'nosu HaKohosim. Then they go. Noiseh HaMikdosh. Noiseh Dodom HaMikdosh. And Yekim Wesh HaMishkan. Now we're going back and explaining. B'nei Gersh Oimdim Mirari Shohoyim Kodim Lohem. Now see, here's where Rashi is. Here's the problem.
Yeah,
Shnei de Golem. I hear what you're saying. Hoyu mekimin es ha-mishkan. They were making the mishkan kishahoyu ha-onan shaychein. They were two de Golem ahead. No, they were only b'nei gershem b'nei rev shahoyu koyvim lohem shakoyvim lohem maso shnei de Golem. It's true, they were two. It's an akasha. It's true. There were six shvatim in front of them.
Yeah.
There were six shvatim in front of them, but in between the first three and the second three was the art, was the structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a kasha, right? The kima is b'nei gershon u'b'nei merari shayu koydmin lohem.
But koydmin lohem means that it went before Yehuda. That's why I couldn't.
Koydmin lohem Masa Shnei Gedolim. You're right. That's what it says. Hoy Mikim Masa Mishkan. Right, right. Hoy Mikim Masa Mishkan. They were making the Keshaya Anan Shaykhin. The Simon Hachaniya Nira Kedegel Machane Yehuda. The Simon from Hashem to stop was seen by Machane Yehuda. Shom Chay Nimri Adayin B'nei Kehos Boy Mecharayim. They were still going. In Shnei Adagolim. In Shnei. Had the Golem Ha'acharayim. Behind that.
Yeah.
I guess he had to learn a Rashi also. That's what Rashi really means to say. They began to travel.
Yeah.
But they took the lead position. So I guess what it means then, you have to say this is what it means. It means like what we said, is that Reuven, the first three went, when the first three began to move, they quickly disassembled the Mishkan, and they went to the front.
Okay.
So then, they start moving, they part, they move to the front, and then the next three start going. So you have the Mishkan, the structure, three,
and then
the Kelim, and then three.
Okay.
But they did not take apart the Mishkan
until the
first three began.
They started moving, they're getting rid, and then they went.
Then they went to the front of the line.
Yeah.
Move over, guys.
Okay, I just...
There's only enough room on the road for one of us.
I just couldn't figure it out.
I guess that's what it means over here.
Yeah. Okay, Shkot, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Okay, wonderful Shabbos.
We have a Pew report.
Sorry?
We're going to copy the Pew report in the paper.
That's what it says. So what does it say over here?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't
shock me.
Yes, good questions.
I spoke to somebody who's involved with Kira on campuses. He said, well, there's been like a radical change over the last few years. So the new crappy students going in, they're not only interested, but they're against. Yeah, very hard.
Sorry.
I guess the last few years they did some job in, you know, some
cancer. So
that
in 10 years from now,
But I have another sheet, is that a lot of these people are from mixed homes. Is the Reform and Conservative allowed actually in the center? So I wonder how many of these people that think that Jewish are really Jewish.
Right. But it's very dangerous that the whole support for Israel in 10 years from now in America.
That I had a discussion with this issue in Chicago about how the dealers, because it's time to stop this. Well, the dealers should have this, should not have this, and go, you can't live 60-70 years ago. You gotta redo it. It's there. You have to support. You can't.
Israel today is surviving because they have incredible support from America.
I think that's the bullshit. We got more support from Christian fundamentalists.
Yeah.
I have someone I used to work with, her retired, and she on her Facebook page. She's a Baptist, very very fundamentalist.
Yeah.
But she has a picture with her husband holding up the Israeli flag.